that you may, that your faith, talk about our faith, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Saints, that's where our faith is in. It's in God. It's in the power of God. Man doesn't have any power. He doesn't have any power. So the church today, that's what we need to realize, that the power is in God. It's in what He say, not in what man say. You know, Paul say, "I preached under the anointing." This is how we have to preach today. This is how we have to teach today. This is how we have to live today as supernatural believers of God. Paul said, "I preached under the anointing and the power of the Spirit." And what he preached, he said, was confirmed by signs following. If we want to have that same results, when we preach, signs is going to follow. Because that's what God says. And this is the outcome that God is expecting. He expecting us to preach and teach in the Spirit so that the anointing will fall on us, in us, and it'll work through us. Hallelujah to Jesus. Lord, we thank you because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, we cannot do the works of God in human wisdom and the whooping and the, eloquent and skillful speaking. None of that can heal, it can't deliver, or it can't set people free. You know, it can't set people free from satanic oppression. And the world is filled with satanic oppression today. And people don't know how to deal with it because they don't know God. And you know why they don't know God? Because somebody standing in the pulpit is not teaching the way they're supposed to be teaching. We're supposed to know about demons and devils. We're supposed to know about the natural man and the supernatural man. And when we don't know that, we can't function the way God wants us to function. The church need to know. You know, this is what it need to know. That it's not what we do and our natural abilities. You know, it has no supernatural power, and our wisdom is the wisdom of man and not of God. Natural man produces natural wisdom. The supernatural man produces spiritual wisdom, and that's of God, and that's what the church needs, the wisdom of God. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the Spirit of God. Man's spirit is that spirit of the human spirit, which is known as his intellect, his mind, and his will. That's what the natural man is composed of. His mind, his will, that's his spirit. And we need to know and understand what spirit we are of. See, that's another problem. We don't know what spirit we are of. You know, there's the spirit of man, which is found in 1 Corinthians 2:11, the spirit of God, which is found in 1 Corinthians 2:11, and then there's the spirit of the world. People don't know that there's a spirit of the world. That's why the murders and killing sprees are happening. That's the spirit. That's the spirit of the world. Doing what you want to do. It's your thing. You want to do what you want to do. You don't want to acknowledge God. You don't want to love God. You don't want to even know about God. You turn away from God. That's the spirit of the world. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. You know, we know from the writings of Paul that there's a natural man and there's a spiritual man. That's why I keep reiterating this, because If you don't know, somebody's got to tell you. So Paul is telling us that there is a natural man, and I showed you scripture, and there is a spiritual man. You know? And in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about the gospel preaching, and its divine purpose. We gave you a little bit of that a few minutes ago. He's talking about gospel preaching and its divine purpose. You know, it's done by the Spirit. That's what our preaching and teaching and all that is supposed to be done by the Spirit or in the Spirit. And why? So there could be demonstrations and power from God. We do it in the Spirit so that there can be demonstrations of the power of God. It's allowed to happen when we preach and teach in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come down, people will get healed, delivered, and set free. The second thing that he talks about is human wisdom, and preaching of the cross is opposite. This is what he's saying. Human wisdom and teaching of the cross is opposite. And we know that. We know that human wisdom can't touch what Jesus done on the cross. Jesus gave us eternal life on that cross. Jesus blotted out all our sins on that cross. He blotted out all of our sins when he got on that cross. He took our sicknesses and our diseases and he put them in his own body on that tree. That's what he did. Now you tell me what human wisdom can do. It can't do none of that. My. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the natural man, he preaches from his intellect and his own will. That's how he preaches. The spiritual man preaches from the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's how he preaches. And the third thing Paul talked about, he said Christians, the revelation and the knowledge that they get is divine wisdom. The revelation that we get is divine wisdom from God. That's what the Christians get. Hallelujah to Jesus. And then he talks about the spiritual things, spirit received. Whatever we receive, the spiritual things, like joy and peace and love and gladness, healing and deliverances, he say, spirit things are spirit received. So all those things that I just named out, those are spirit things. And they're received by the Spirit. So can you understand why the natural man can't receive that? Because it's spiritually discerned. It is of the Spirit. It's God himself. And God is not going to give anything holy to the dogs. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So this is a major problem in most churches. This is a major problem in most churches. We're dependent on the natural man to feed us the Word of God. And he can't feed us the Word of God because he don't know the Word of God. He can only read the words on the page. And the Bible says that those words on the page, there's no life in those words. The life comes when the life of God is in us. And then what we preach and teach is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Glory to God. You know, we have to understand that God is a good God. He's perfect in all of his ways. And the only way we can lead and guide the people properly is we're going to have to do it in the Spirit. We're going to have to do it in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And then we want to talk about that other thing. The other thing that we want to talk about is how God uses us. He uses us because we're the people that he's called to lead this world. I told you that before. We're called to lead the world. And no natural man have the power to do what God has given us to do. They don't have the power. You know? So, we have to know that we have people, carnal people. We have carnal folks that's in leadership in the church. And they think that their worldly wisdom and understanding, their intellect, their college degrees,
qualifies them. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307.
They're weird people.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
God bless you. If you turn your Bibles to Psalms number 37, verse 5. Psalms number 37, verse 5. Recorded are these words. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of Almighty God. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject, God's way is best. If you don't mind helping me preach this morning, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God's way is best. Now, if you really believe it, come on, give him praise in the house. We have this word before us, a psalm of David, who has learned some things as relates to his own personal experience and how God deals with him and how God deals with those who deal with him. He shares some insight on this word for us by beginning in verse 1 by saying, fret not thyself because of evil doers. Now, before we move too far, let's be clear who the evil doers are. The evil doers are the doers of evil. And you will note that anything that is not of God is evil. And notice it says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You ought not have a hating bone in your body. You, the child of the utmost and high and almost and almighty, rather, God, should be at that point where you never let anything anybody else have on this side of glory cause you to be envious. When the same God that created you created them, gave them what they have, can give you what they have and more. When you begin to understand the iniquity, says, in short, those who are vain, those who are foolish, and those whose work and life end up in nothingness, why would you envy them? Because the end result is that while it looked good now, while it might be shining like real gold now, the truth of the matter is it's all a facade. It's not real, because in the end they lose. So why would you be envious of the workers of iniquity, vainness, foolishness, and nothingness? Notice he goes on to say, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and what happens? And wither as the green herb. In other words, there is no longevity to the foolishness of the folk of the world. That's why they're here today, bling bling, shining, looking good today, and then you look for them tomorrow and they're gone. They don't, you don't really, really get to see no old players. What's that, player, player? No, I ain't no player. No, because players don't live to be long as they keep on playing. Because that's a cutthroat, dog-eat-dog business. You ought not want to be no player. Because they will soon, look at your neighbor and look at it. You might be sitting next to a player. Look at it. You heard the saying, ain't no fool like an old fool. Here he is, can't hardly walk good, acting like he an old player. Mac Daddy. He ought to be on his knees somewhere thanking God for another day's journey. Thanking him for life and strength. Thanking him that his foolishness hadn't put him in a grave early. And so when you see these kind of folk, there's no life to emulate. The people of the world and the things they do, and they get, my mind is on my money, my money is on my mind. Your mind ought to be on Jesus. Because these parties, they pretend to be all of that, isn't all of that. You can be lonely in a crowd. But notice he goes on and he says, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be what? Fed. Listen, it doesn't matter who does evil to you, your position is and your responsibility is to do good. Because here's what you realize, that God is the one who's going to do the real reckoning in the end. That's why it's no longer an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, I've got a better way for thee. He said, if someone does you wrong, you pray for them. He said, if they want your coat, give them your cloak also. They hit you to one cheek, turn the other cheek. They compel you to go one mile, go the extra mile. In other words, I want you to do it like I would do it, because in the end, Jesus wins. And he says, if he overcomes, then so shall we. And so this word is very clear that for the believers today, that we should understand that if we do good, we shall dwell. That's a word, that's a compound word that means to do well. You don't want to just be here, you want to do well while you're here. God wants his people to dwell in the land, do well in the land. God wants his people to be such a spotlighted reality of goodness so that the world sees them. Jesus said it clearly in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, there are some good things being done, and God wants the spotlight to be shown on those things. We have on this cycle Sunday some groups with us, and earlier this morning at the earliest service, we heard about some of the wonderful things that are being done. Listen, God doesn't want us to be so strict and so unbendable and inflexible that we can't enjoy the things of the world. The Bible says, Psalm 24 and 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything that is made, was made, will be made, he made it. Gave man the mind, the technology, the ability to do it. Listen, if it doesn't take glory from him, it brings glory to him. All bikers ain't bad. All bikers ain't drunken and doping and smoking and all of that kind of stuff. You got some good bikers. I wish I had a helper from the biker community. Yeah, you got some good bikers, some people doing good things, some people who are standing up, stepping up for the Lord, showing their goodness even in a world that is mixed with so many different things that will try and bring even the good that is done down. And so God needs people in every area, every arena of life, to be able to let their light shine, to do good, so that the Bible says he will cause them to dwell and verily be fed in the land. We got some bikers who are doctors, who are lawyers, who are professionals, who are teachers, who are homemakers, on and on and on and on, all walks of life, shining and showing and sharing the love of Jesus in every area and arena. Do you realize there are some people who wouldn't be saved if we didn't take the light there? I got news for you. Everybody ain't coming to our churches, aren't turning on our radio and television programs to be saved. Sometime you got to take it to the streets. You got to take it to where they are and show them it ain't no sin in enjoying the good things God has provided. And it blows some folk away. Even some of us more strict and holier than thou Christians don't believe that some of us are going to go to heaven because we ride on two wheels instead of four. Don't believe that God can be in enjoying and relaxing sports and so forth and so on. But know this, good comes in all forms. And our responsibility, no matter what form it's in, is to do good. Look at what this word says, and it goes on in verse 4 and says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And what's going to happen? And he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Oh, when you think about that, immediately you think, when I begin to delight myself in God, when I begin to line up with his word, will, and way, he's going to give me what my heart wants. But that is not what it means. What it means is when I delight in him also, it makes a comparison to whatever it is you delight in. Whatever you find delightsome, whatever you find lovely, whatever you have a passion for, he's saying, love him like that also. And listen to this, when you love him like that, he will perform heart surgery. He will cut open your heart and put in your heart the things he wants you to desire. And so he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you what your heart should desire, because what he's literally doing is upgrading the desires of your heart. You might have thought you wanted something down here, but he's got something up there. Even better. You might think that you got the best thing right here, but God can show you even better right here. When you delight in him, he will give you what your heart should desire. And when you desire that, it's always going to bless your life. But look at verse 5, and here's where we're going to come to our preaching moment. It says, commit thy way. Verse 4 says, delight. That's desire. But when he says commit, that takes it to another level. That's dedication. And I want you to see this. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. First thing I want you to know is you've got to relinquish. So he's talking about relinquishment. Why is relinquishment so important? I'm glad you asked. Some Christians are clinging to, holding on to their own ways. Ways that have led them down dark and lonely paths. Ways that have ripped them and stripped them of their joy and their peace. Ways that have brought them to many crying nights, soaked with tears on their pillows. Ways that have caused them to repeat a vicious cycle over and over again. Many believers are still holding on to doing things the old way and expecting new changes. See, you've got to learn to relinquish those things that are not like the Lord. You've got to learn how to let go and say, to God be the glory for what he desires in my life. And so when we learn how, and the flesh is usually what controls those things that the flesh desires. So we've got to move from the flesh focus to the spiritual focus. Because there is a war, Paul made clear in the 7th chapter of Romans, that's going on underneath the skin. The flesh and the spirit are warring one against the other. And when the flesh wants something, it's usually the opposite of what the spirit wants. And when the spirit wants something, it's usually what the flesh does not want. But what you've got to make a decision is to say to yourself and to your flesh, we're going to surrender and to submit to what God wants, because God's way is the best way. How many times have you literally had that struggle, had that fight, and you surrendered to God's way, and the flesh fought you every step of the way? You know it didn't feel good. You know that was a struggle going on while you were letting go, but all in your spirit and all in your mind, you knew once you released it, sooner or later you start feeling better. And God is so faithful that once you release stuff over to Him, He immediately allows the Holy Ghost to start restructuring stuff underneath the skin. And if you keep your focus, that's why the word says commit. Because how many times have we let go some stuff only to turn around and... Oh, there y'all go, looking all holier than thou. You quit smoking for a week, for a few days, and then something came up, and without even thinking, you automatically... Let me just tell you, if you're going to quit smoking, get rid of your stash. You ought not have no emergency cigarettes, because the devil will present an emergency. And next thing you know, even though you're quitting, you're like, just in case. No, it ain't no just in case. When you relinquish and give it up, you give it up. You take all your stashes, if it's your little sip, take all of that, you know where you got it at. Whatever it is, you've got to get rid of it so that you don't give yourself the opportunity to go back when you get weak, because you are going to get weak. Why? Because you're made of flesh and spirit. And while the spirit is strong, you need to make sure you clean out everything. And just in case you stumble on a photograph, and it kind of makes you laugh, say, throw it in the trash right then. Because after you laugh, then you're going to start thinking. So that means you know, most folk today, you know, cell phones are good and all that in their place, but they have made the mind lazy. Most people today who have other people's number in their phone either have it by a name or by some form of identification, but most of them don't know the number by heart. So if you lose your cell phone, you're lost. Are y'all hearing me? So what I'm telling you is, if you say it's over, get it out your cell phone, because you don't remember the number, no, huh? Commit means that you remind yourself of what the end is going to be. And when you get weak down the road, you've got to remember that you've made a commitment to the end. And the enemy is always going to try to catch you before the end. And it's always at that point and place where you're the most vulnerable. Try to make you think you made a mistake, when God's way is the best way. And so you can apply this to every area of life where it is applicable. Notice here, there's something else that we need us to understand. That the Bible says, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. We can't continue to do our way and think that God's going to be pleased or He's going to profit us from that. We must relinquish everything that renders us helpless and hopeless to the commitment we made to God. That's why the word says, commit thy way unto the Lord. See, because when you make it personal, this is unto the Lord. I said I wasn't going to do this because I made a commitment unto the Lord. Now, if you just say, see, that's why when you say I'm going to stop smoking,